TFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Visit www.CapturedPrey.com for all your import, transformers, and third-party figure needs. And save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular toy conventions like BotCon and TFCon, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
Stars that came here to earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hey everybody, it's TFYLP episode, or epidote, 131.
Joe!
And we have Tobias.
Yes.
We have Hank.
Hey.
We have this guy.
Word!
We have Plasticon.
How's it going, guys? I'm teleported to a different community because my camera system just sucks with my internet.
Sucks!
And I am your reluctant host, Sideburn 2.
Reluctant.
Reluctant.
He's very reluctant.
He was over there going, oh, please, please let me do it, please, come on!
So we let him.
Okay, and tonight we are talking about Combiners. Combiners Part 2. Leading up to the fantastical Generations Combiner Wars that's coming in 2015. Yay!
Yay!
That's my excitement for Brett, because he asked for it.
I did. I said I want zealous. I want Zell. I want, except for this new 2015 Combiner. But that's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of today. But we're at least going to start on a high note. We're going to start on Beast Wars Combiners. So, take it away.
Eh?
That's what the host gets to do, right?
No. You're the Beast Wars guy. That's why we put you in charge. Yeah. You women. Everyone else say, take it away.
Take it away.
It's all yours.
All right.
Magna Boss.
Let's get the epidote going, man.
Now, Beast Wars had a couple combiners, did they not?
Yeah, so the original Beast Wars had two combiners that came out in, I believe it was 96,
Second year.
So it was the second year, still when they were normal beasts. And they came in gift sets. You had the Maxwell combiner, which was Mandibus, who was comprised of the Lion Prowl, Ironhide the Elephant, and Silverbolt the Eagle.
The gold plastic eagle.
I thought you were the expert on this, man. You're struggling.
I thought it was a falcon, to tell you the truth.
I almost said Skywarp, but we'll get to that later.
You think you're the Japanese version?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's gone to plat. We're all doomed now.
No, what is that? Scene fate? Bull crap. Keep going.
And then we had the Predacon combiner, Tripredicus, who is Cicadacon the Cicada. You know, lots of creativity there. Oh gosh, I'm getting a phone call from someone else. Stop that.
Are they helping you?
No.
Would you like to phone a friend?
Oh, yes! Use your lifeline!
Gosh, I'm just totally off track now.
You said CicadaCon.
CicadaCon, Sea Clamp the Lobster, and... Oh, crap.
There was one called Oh Crap? That would have been my favorite. CicadaCon, what was it, Clamp, and Oh Crap.
Sea Clamp and, yes,
Sea Clamp and Oh Crap. And oh, crap. Yes!
And Ramhorn, the rhinoceros.
I bet
beetle.
You said Ramhorn.
I just got a random phone call just totally jacked me up.
You left that one out on purpose.
Well, yeah, because he's special. Because
he's Ramhorn. I mean, it's all good.
So.
And what did they form? They formed a specific bot. What was it?
They formed Tripedicus. I started with that. Started with that.
But what is? I mean, you did shit, dude. It's you gotta insane, gotta tell you what they are.
Yeah, I know, right?
There you go. Hey, there you go.
They formed Tripedicus.
Visual aid, please.
This is the coolest combiner ever, people.
It's also one of the hardest damn things to put together I've ever had.
What are you talking it's about? The most pain in the ass combiner.
It is a pain in the ass combiner.
No.
Like the Mandiboss is worse.
One robot.
Yeah, that's
Mandiboss gave me hours of fun. I remember combining that and then showing it to my friends, and all they could say was, "Does he have a robot's head for an ass?"
Yes.
Because Ironhide's head, robot head, is like sticking out where his ass should be. And you go like, what? What an incredible best design flaw was that.
The best part was he had a little tail, too.
Oh, yeah. He was truly a male Autobot. I mean, Maximo.
Yes. But, and I don't know if we talked about this, but they had the Japanese... repaints of those two. Now, while Magnaboss was very, very similar, Tripedicus was different. What was the name of the Japanese Tripedicus? Does anyone remember?
It was Tripleticus.
It had a different name, but it had darker colors.
Or Tripleticus.
Really, and I thought it had a different name.
No, it is a different name. It's got an L in it.
Well, I thought it was totally different because
it's basically triple and then Eticus.
Well, while he's looking that up, why can't you why don't you explain to our audio guys how those guys actually do combine, considering we were actually talking about the combination ports and how some of that stuff worked too.
Yeah, so with the Beast Wars combiners, they were the first to do the three deluxes combine into the combined robot mode. And they didn't combine, both of them combined very differently. Mandiboss kind of cheats. Ironhide makes up about 98% of the body. Maybe not 98%, it's an over exaggeration. But, and then Silverbolt and Prowl pretty much make up the head. But in the case of Tripedicus, you had a very distinct, like, three layers. You had Ramhorn became the arms, so you had one guy became both arms. And he does this without separating in half. He's always connected together. You have C-Clamp becomes the legs, and CicadaCon becomes the torso. And it's much in the line of, like, it would be used later with the... train team and RID with Rail Racer.
Mm-hmm.
And viewers can see, I'm gonna pull mine apart. People watching the live stream. Shoot, I'm gonna try to break it at the same time.
That would be awesome.
So right here is
Destroy
Ramhorn.
His toy live.
I did it. You can do it.
So right here is Ramhorn. And he basically just a bar in between two parts of his body that slides down into Cicadacon, which forms the chest. It sort of slides right down inside of his head. And then the lobster very easily forms feet, big old crab hands, or lobster hands, because he's a lobster and not a crab. But yeah, and both the combiners were used in Beast Wars II to make Magnaboss made Magnaboss. And basically, he wasn't much different. He had some added paint apps to his face, sort of had a sort of like, I guess you'd say, Indian chief sort of motif.
A little war paint going on.
Yeah.
And I found a really, really crappy Japanese Trapeticus, which are called, they're also called Jointron.
The Jointron brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to share this, but I'm going to let you know right now, it's a really crappy picture. It's a really crappy picture.
Yeah. So,
even yeah, they got the nice little sombreros going on and everything.
At Beast Wars 2nd, the three of them were very stereotypical, like, mariachi types.
It was
awesome, though. Look at this. You got the poncho. You got the guitar. The sombrero. Awesome.
Yeah, they, individually, the, aside from Cicadacon, I think individually, Tripleticus, Gimlet is better than C-Clamp because he's red, and Ramhorn is a little bit nicer in that black color, but...
Yeah, the beetle, here's a picture of the beetle.
Yeah. So
I can tell you that as far as finding the complete set, the Japanese version,
it's
extremely difficult. You would think that you were looking for a Gene 1 gift set. These are pretty tough. They're pretty tough. The Magnaboss is a lot easier, but this one, yeah. I mean, but yeah, if you look at the color variations, it's so worth it. This one, and the Beast Wars combiners were cool in their own right, but to have this recolor, as cool as it is, it's so worth it. Absolutely.
Well, that's sold as a gift set as well.
What's that?
I don't know. I've only seen them as individual.
Yeah, I don't believe Tripleticus was ever actually sold as a gift set. The reason I take that back.
I'm sorry. There you go.
That's how I got him. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. I remember now.
But if you look, what is that?
The colors are completely different.
Sea Crab? Is that his name? Yeah, he is a darker red. The cicada, whatever cicada thing, is like a gold. And then the beetle is a really, really – it's not black. It's more of a
– looks like a charcoal.
Well, I had a good picture. It's probably like a dark blue.
It's probably a bit translucent. Because Ramhorn here, it doesn't come through on the camera very well. But he's actually a bit translucent.
But this color
the Japanese version painted it through because I have both the Japanese and the American version. And what they did, instead of using the more translucent – plastic the American has, it's just basically solid shiny.
They actually painted
now,
it.
Now, wouldn't you agree that the that one is a lot harder to find than the Magnaboss?
Yes.
Well, Magnaboss, everyone was pissed off by Leo Convoy Jr., so nobody wanted to buy the toy.
Well, and you also have to look at it. I mean, aside from a few paint apps, they were virtually the same.
Well, and it's incredibly easy to find the Korean version.
Yes.
You find those all over the place.
Oh, Tripleticus? Or are you talking about
Magnaboss?
No, Magnaboss.
Basically, it's good luck trying to find Tripleticus. I don't like to say this name.
Tripleticus?
Tripleticus.
The
Japanese version, the Japanese pronunciation for it is just Tripodecus. Like triple decker.
Triple deckers.
You know,
that's a lot easier to say than the way I'm trying to pronounce
it. When I get my triple decker, you know, Big Mac, my triple decker, that would work. So,
Look at all these triple deckers.
This harkens back to I'm going to go with a GoBots reference, so, I mean, stand by. But Monstrous, when Monstrous came out, it was a, you know, basic color scheme similar to Tropedicus, you know, the main color schemes. And then when they went to the Earth tones, like this one did, the GoBots Monstrous did the Satan. And it commands great amount of money. It's very hard to find. So I see a lot of similarities with the two. You got a lot of earth tones, very, very dark, and they both command a lot of money and are very rare. Yeah. I just see the similarity between the two. Oh, and they're combiners.
Yeah. Now, funny enough, the American version of Mandaboss is actually become the harder one to find. And it's mostly because Silverbolt, which I don't believe is classified as true GPS.
It's pretty close.
I believe, because I don't think it crumbles like the gold plastic does. I think it's
which
just
one? That. Now, which one is that?
Silverbolt is the bird. And it has a tendency to break.
And it's brown. It's not gold.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has
but
a tendency
for some reason
to break,
it cracks, though. The wings, right?
Yeah, well, because the wings have this double joint that fold out for the combined mode.
Well, and why don't you go ahead and take yours, take it out, and go ahead and break it so everyone can see just how fragile it is. Go ahead. We can watch.
I don't have a Mandaboss.
What kind of Beast Wars fan are you?
Mr. Beast Wars guy doesn't have one to break.
He's expensive. He's expensive. I'm only looking for one boxed. I'm only looking for one boxed.
And here I was just waiting for you to go, oh, I'm not going to break that. You don't even have it!
No. I plan on buying a boxed one, and then I'm going to buy a loose one.
I plan on being a millionaire, too, but that ain't happening.
Hey, I never said I had. I only have two of this guy.
Well, right now I have none of being a millionaire, but I'm striving for it. Anyway, there is Magnaboss right there, and what he's talking about is this little guy that comes in right at the nipples and the nipples.
If
you look right here, they're a little low, but there you go. Got some aerolas going on right there and there. Anyway, this brown.
Keep it in your pants.
This brown, and you wonder why we have the R rating. This brown is susceptible to breakage, correct?
Susceptible to breakage. There's a part where it sort of flays out, and it's got two pins through it, and that's where it like tears more than
okay.
It, like,
so
crumble.
What we have to remember is the areolas are very delicate.
Yes.
Right in here, and in here, very delicate. So be careful when you are playing with this portion right here and here. Not so much here. And here. All right.
And I apologize to our audio listeners.
What are you apologizing for, man? I just came up with that on the spot, and that was pretty damn good.
No, no. The audio listeners won't be able to tell what you're doing.
All right. I was talking about the brown.
I'm apologizing.
Okay? That's what I was talking about. You're a big boy, figure it out. Okay. Remember, TFYLP, we're not always talking about Transformers. We're also talking about relationships and you know, just giving back and letting everyone, you know, be good to each other, whether it be the areola area or your Transformers or what. So, you know, we're here to help. That's all. Take it away, Mike. Go ahead.
We'll go with that.
All right. So,
look, you gave it to me. You gave me the whole area. I just had to go with it, okay? I mean, I just go with what I got to work with. That's all.
Oh, goodness. So,
It was too easy.
So, probably the rarest.
The fifth combiner.
Yeah, the rarest combiner in the Beast Wars era is God Neptune, which is the last combiner in the Beast Wars era.
which I believe I think we mentioned this guy on the previous one, but go ahead, because I mean I know you know a little more about him than
I know nothing about him. Let's not joke.
Well, honestly, I mean, all the C-cons, they know what he looks like.
Yeah, so
obviously a white, yellow, and gold version.
Yeah, he basically is like a pearlescent, and pearl and green C-cons, Chronicon, with tons of gold plastic.
What was the name of it?
To throw in the mix, God Neptune. And I believe
I was really thinking bad things.
Does he actually was from GPS? I mean, I don't know.
No, it's
no, he does. It's a painted.
It is, but when you were talking about never mind. Anyway, here.
Moving on with
that. Good picture. Bad things. That's all there is to it. I'll just go with that. God Neptune.
Yes. So God Neptune was. He was also in Beast Wars Second, right? I think.
Yeah,
I believe Beast Wars Second was the only one that had combiners.
Correct.
Beast Wars. And
you were going to talk about his big sword, right? His sword.
No.
How about the lack of one of his little companion
combiners?
Yeah. So
yes,
so,
he lost one. So
which one did he lose?
The one that no one really cares about.
Yeah, exactly. That one. I can't stand that one.
Which one is it? I'm trying to remember which one it is. I know it's not the Manta Ray.
The Manta Ray's up here.
It's not the octopus.
The octopus is down here.
It's not to Lair.
Manta Ray.
It's not to Lair, yeah.
It's
not a Lair. It's missing.
Tentacle. God, I can't remember.
Yes.
Tentacle. Scalor. Scalor is right over here. I can't remember the others.
No, it's the lobster with spider legs. Nautilator is the one that's missing.
Nautilator. Yeah. Yeah, that one's missing.
The one that's name is most unpronounceable of the group.
I believe these guys were like heavily stereotypical like pirates in the show too, weren't they?
Yeah, in the show, the five of them were pirates, led by what's his name? Half Shell, I think, was the leader, the turtle.
Yeah.
And one of them, Skilla, was like the first female Predacon, I want to say. No, second female Predacon, because obviously there was Black Arachnia.
Yeah.
And she was always chasing after the squid, the maximal squid.
Just Dagon.
Oh, yeah. Scuba.
Dagon whore.
Yeah, Scuba.
I swear. Can't trust her.
Like, it's hilarious because God Neptune is super powerful. He's even more powerful than Galvatron. But because she keeps running off to be with Scuba, she abandons the transformation midway. So they're always down a leg. So they get beaten up because of that. It's like every episode they turn up in. That's the only reason they lose. She's like, Scuba! And then she just runs off. And you go like, what? Just
wow. Wow. You've given me so much to work with, and I'm just going to let it go. I am. I'm just going to let it go.
Shout Factory really needs to release the Beast Wars, the Japanese Beast Wars stuff.
Did you just really say that someone needed to release the Beast Wars? Did you just say that?
Damn it. Here is you'll appreciate this. I was showing this. To Jason earlier since we've gone down a dark path. So here is my Mothra egg, just to show you real quick. So to turn it into an egg, do you see this?
I never talk about eggs.
Yeah.
Doing worse.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Are you guys sure about the rated R on this? We seriously need it at this point.
Did you see how quickly that changed? That did. Oh, now you know why we got our R rating, okay? Just because it's not that we do the filth, it comes out. It just does. So, you know, Mike, go ahead, go with your eggs. Go ahead.
Well, so
Scuba, she was a Yoko Ono.
The Yoko Ono? Yeah.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
I love how that's our description for her. Yoko Ono. She's the Yoko Ono.
Yeah, everyone knows Yoko Ono. But anyway, eggs. We were talking about eggs.
Oh, I just thought you might appreciate the...
Oh, very, I did appreciate it. Especially the very, in this context.
The very suggestive way that Mothra combines with Mothra's larva.
You know what? Go ahead, because we already got our R rating. Go ahead.
Oh, you didn't see it? Were you not paying attention?
I missed it. Do the sexual perverted act.
I was showing this to Jason. So you got Mothra larva. You got Mothra. These are my like Godzilla eggs. And so when I got this in the other day, so to turn them into an egg.
It's horrible.
Are we supposed to talk about the number 69?
Only if there's a Transformer called 69 and we don't know about it.
You know.
I'm waiting for
let me just go. Let me just go off record.
Just a 69.
Wait
that's
a minute. Let me just go off record and by saying that it doesn't matter. I've had a lot of figures made for our store and everything. I'm gonna try and work 69 into another figure because that sounds very intriguing. Very, very intriguing. I'm marking that one down, baby.
That's down the record book.
It is down.
All right.
Logged. It's done.
Are we moving on to RID?
Do you feel
hurry, change the subject.
Your eggs, your 69, and anything else sexual that you can think of. If you're done with Beast Wars, proceed. Obviously, he's not. Go ahead. Go with it with more stuff. Go ahead. It's here. We're ready.
No. We'll go move on to RID.
Whoa. What happened to Beast Machines? Didn't Beast Machines have anything? Oh, wait a minute.
Did Beast Machines have a combiner?
No, it didn't.
I mean, Megatron transforming into a head and connecting to Fortress Maximus does not count.
No, because more head doesn't count. Okay, so not Beast Machines, RID. So we had RID, which was...
So Robots in Disguise.
Well, yeah, I got that, but I mean, what was the name of the combiner?
We had three, what, didn't we?
No, but you always started off... Look, you're breaking how you did things, the format. You said the name of the group, individuals... And then when I said say the name, you yelled at me. So, I mean, stick to the format here. Go ahead.
All right. So, RID had, I believe it was three combiners. It had Build King, which was comprised of, is Build King correct?
Wasn't it Landfill first?
It's Landfill. See, I'm saying the car robots. Yeah, I'm saying the
Look, wait a minute. First of all. I'm the G1 guy, all right? I'm not into this crap. I'm the G1 guy. Go.
All right, so you have Landfill, who is comprised
of... I said that.
Yes, he's comprised of the Dirt Mover, Wedge, the Shovel, the... Yeah.
Excavator?
Shovel Grimlock. Yeah,
I don't know. I kind of like Dirt Mover. That's a pretty cool name. I like that.
It's a bulldozer, a dirt mover. It's not technically, I don't think it's technically counts as a bulldozer. You have the, and you're just staring at me. It's just getting to me.
All of us are. You ready? Yeah. You ready?
You have the
there
dump.
There you go.
You have the dump truck, heavy load, and you have Hightower, the crane. For the Decepticon, and that's the other.
What is in with Grimlock?
No, Grimlock was the shovel, or the backhoe.
I'm not looking at you. I am not looking at you. All right. All right, so we had this Thingamabob. Now, let me ask you something. How many members? How many members comprise that team?
Four.
All right.
So this was a.
Did we have a combiner before that had so few members?
Yeah.
Which was
Rome Caesar.
No. Well, see, I don't know if you would.
Only three.
That was only three, but I don't know if you would in the G1 US continuum. The only thing I was thinking of was the Beast Wars. Beast Wars had three.
Yeah. So this is the only.
But before that, I mean, G1, you had what, six, then you dropped down to five,
yeah,
and then everyone passed five. Beast Wars, you had three, and now you're down to how many for RID?
Well, this is up to four.
You're up to four.
Yeah, so I believe he's the only combiner that's only that's comprised of four. Yeah, he's the only combiner that's comprised of four characters. And basically, you have three large deluxes and the one that was sold as a deluxe, but he's more of a basic size figure.
And he was sold different. I thought he was in the same package.
No, he was sold as a deluxe, but he's a bit shorter than the rest of them. There's not as much to him.
Talking about the bulldozer, right?
Yeah. So they had a nifty sort of combining gimmick where each of the bigger guys sort of combined. They had an arm that came out of the body of the vehicle, and they combined into this sort of triangle connector. And the wedge on the back of the torso, he has this little peg that would go in between the triangle and then peg into the rest of the guys to form chest. So he was combined holy crap. Just tried to slip it on my hands. So he's comprised of four construction vehicles. And for the most part, he was pretty much the main Autobot combiner in the series. There was another Autobot combiner.
But he comes in really late in the series, though. He like turns up midway through Car Robots, doesn't he?
I can't remember. It's been a while since I watched it. I want to
say it was about midway.
Because they were trying to explain how they created the Cybertron net on Earth, and that's why this team didn't turn up till they had finished completing it. Yeah. They had been away.
Let's go see. So.
Oh, and by the way, can I ask why is your Build King is the name I know it by. Landfill, was it? Why is he all yellow?
So this was a Walmart gift set exclusive, and it wasn't quite Universe yet, but it was right at the end of Armada when they released this. And this is the only full set I have. I only ever got Wedge and Hightower because I was still really young when I was collecting RID, so I never finished them. But yeah, that's why this is all yellow.
Recolored as a Devastator at one time too.
Yeah, in the Universe line, they were made into Devastator, I believe. And they were released in two packs. I believe those were Target exclusives.
Yeah, so I think there's only like three real variations of him in the multicolored one from the regular Landfill, then the. Was that Target or Walmart exclusive, if I'm not mistaken, the one that you have?
This one, I believe, was Walmart exclusive. Yeah,
I think you're right, because I had that one myself. And then there was the Universe Devastator recolor. The one thing that he didn't mention, though, is that the reason why it has that crazy port and the reason why they all connect like that is because you can literally flip them around in different combination modes. Like, if you move them around, you can actually make some of the other portions become arms, and then the other portions become legs.
Yeah.
That's just, it's got a really, really odd gimmick. It's, It's almost too kibble-tastic, though, the way it's designed, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely has a lot hanging off of it, but I believe in the show it was usually just shown with Grimlock as the arms. But all of them can actually form the arms and or can become a leg, except for Wedge. Wedge is always in the center.
Right.
So I guess, the bullet trains were in episode 3, and Wedge's team didn't actually show up until episode 20.
Railracer showed up very early in the series, which I was pretty excited about that because I'm a big train enthusiast.
Yeah, let's see.
It's interesting because in the Japanese version, a lot of the opening, like the opening theme song, we had them in CGI format. But because they hadn't gotten around to getting the JRX team animated CG style, they appeared in the first few episodes as 2D animated models, and then subsequently they like a running change, it ever became CG. It was really weird when I finally noticed it. I was like, wait, I don't remember them being CG earlier, and I flipped back a few episodes, and I was like, oh. It was like, they wanted them to be main characters, and then somewhere along the line, they're like, oh, yeah, three robots merging into one gigantic robot's pretty useless. Like, good toy, don't get me wrong. It's a great toy, but...
Yeah,
I think Railracer's probably one of the strongest ones that came out of that line, because... although it kind of sucks that only one of them kind of just became part of the, you know, the torso and then like the back portion, but I think it was pretty ingenious the way they actually combined together.
And it's a cool looking toy.
I mean, the proportions are great on that toy. I think it's one of the most solid proportioned combiners we ever got. It's frankly one of my favorites.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the Japanese one, it had the clear windows and it had metal, it had die-cast,
whereas the
U.S. version was all plastic and had solid windows.
You're absolutely right. There was some differences before between the two.
I thought there was.
I don't know, because, I mean, the one thing I've always thought was, I do know that there had like the Korean versions that had came out that were released, and I don't know if was there a Korean version of that was released just like the Japanese, or was it more American?
No, the Korean version was based off the American. It was based on the American model, but using the painting that the Japanese version had. So it had solid windows, but didn't have the gigantic Autobot symbol that all the RID stuff had. Because Car Robot didn't actually have any distinctive Autobot or Decepticon symbols on the vehicle modes to keep in line with them actually being in disguise. So the Korean was a mix between the two. It used the American mode, like the style of putting the thing together, but had the Japanese style paint apps.
Okay. Because, I mean, I wasn't sure what the differences were between that, because I knew there were, but I just wasn't absolutely sure. But I do know for a fact that, I mean, it's a very solid combiner for anybody out there that's actually interested in that one. It's freaking awesome.
And it's one of the few, I like to say, that the separate forms, so the separate parts that come into forming the combiner didn't suffer too much from being combiner bits. You get a lot of combiners which suffer from having to transform into another form to combine. And JRX is one of the few that didn't.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, way back in the day when, you know, G1, a lot of those did suffer because they had to become, like, an arm or something like that. The reason why the center torso one was always so large compared to the rest of the bots. And that's something I actually liked about the train team, because, I mean, they're actually every robot was pretty, you know, size-wise when you'd set them on the desk next to each other. Without them combined, they are actually height-wise, they fit in. Yeah.
Well, that's what I really like about the like three-person combiners, because it's the same with the Beast Wars combiners. Is you have just about an even height scale between them when they turn back into their individual modes, but you still get a quite large and cohesive combiner out of them. And that's something that I think Railracer pulled off better than even the Beast Wars combiners.
Honestly, I think Railracer is probably the best combiner that's come out. Like all the way across the entire board, looking at every one of the combiners, I think it's probably the most solid and cohesive setup of a combiner in the way that it should be. It really did remind me of when I was messing around with that one, just knowing that that's like a train robot, and then you go back and you look at, you know, Raiden when we talked about that one last week. That one as well, the only one that has like a slight height difference is the Diesel, but it's mainly because of the backpack. They're all pretty much cohesive in height, you know. You do have like the one bullet train that might be a slightly shorter, but at least everything wasn't like so drastically out of proportion. And JRX is actually one of the ones that really shows that, you know, you can combine robots that actually do have even height, and it worked out very well.
I feel like JRX was them trying to go, we screwed up with Road Caesar, we're not going to get this wrong this time.
Well, that's very true, because when you look at Road Caesar and you put Road Caesar together, and Brett can even vouch for this one. You can stick him next to Lyle Kaiser, and he's almost as tall as Lyle Kaiser, which is kind of odd, especially since they're almost Voyager-sized cars that combine together to make one big robot. I mean, personally, I like the Kabaya kit, because it actually, to me, the Kabaya...
The Kabaya is scaled the same.
Well, yeah, but I mean, when you look at the Kabaya Road Caesar and you put that in scale with all your other combiners, honestly, I think it fits in better. That's something I noticed when I have mine. I put it on the shelf next to the rest of my stuff. I stick it next to Dino King. Yes, he's shorter than Dino King, because Dino King is supposed to be a big, massive behemoth anyway. He's supposed to be much bigger than most of them anyhow. And he really does. I think the Kabaya actually fits in better because of the height. And the car size is actually a little more comparable to the G1 combiner cars. But that's a complete different subject, because, I mean, we haven't really talked about Kabaya kits yet. I think we'll probably end up doing that on a different one. Anyway, what other RID ones are we wanting to cover? We want to cover that Ruination?
Yeah, Ruination would be the last one. Yeah, the last in the RD combiners. Like Heng said, Ruination was pretty much just a straight up repaint of G1 Bruticus. And it came with Mega Octane, who was a repaint of Onslaught. You had, trying to remember Swindle's name. It's been a while.
Movo? Was that Movo?
No, Movo was... here, let me go find it, because...
Tank, right?
All right, so you had Rotor, which was the helicopter. You have Armahide, which was the tank.
Tank.
You had Rollbar, who was the Jeep. And Movor was the space shuttle.
Yeah.
And so they all formed Ruination, who, aside from Scourge, were the only other Decepticons in RID. And so Ruination has everything to be expected from the original G1 toys. I don't think there wasn't anything added or really changed about them, was there?
Only the weapons. Yeah, before, Bruticus couldn't merge his weapons together, but with Bruticus, right, they allowed their weapons to merge into one gigantic cannon from hell.
Right.
But that was it.
It's mostly funky colored Bruticus.
There's a universe version which has a desert
camo that reminds me of G.I. Joe Tiger Force.
I actually have that. Is it the gray one or is it the...
No, the gray one was the
Arctic. It's not like the stripes all across all of them.
Yeah, there were actually...
They have a tiger stripe. They have a tiger stripe one, which is horrible. That's the one you're talking about. And then they had an Arctic one, which was gray and white, which is flipping awesome.
Yeah, I have that one. That one's pretty sweet. Here, I'm going to go ahead and screen share. So this is the Japanese version of the toy. And the Japanese and the American version are actually quite different. And that you can see the American version is just extremely toned down compared to... What is this? Oh, no. Yeah, never mind. They just changed the arms around. It has quite a different color scheme from the Japanese version. The Japanese version is much closer to the animation model, which you can see there with the gold and the upside down. Is that the G2 Autobot symbol? Is that the G2 Decepticon symbol?
No, that's the Autobot symbol.
That's the Autobot emblem.
That's what I thought. They also changed the colors of Armorhide in the U.S. version. They made them blue. A very Hasbro thing to do, I think. So this, they also came, and this was a Walmart exclusive. Yeah. This is the
Arctic one.
Arctic camo.
And then there's the desert camo.
Yeah, and then there's this one. The
thing is horrible.
Crazy.
They call
ugly.
It the Tiger Stripe.
That's Tiger Force. That's G.I. Joe Tiger Force.
Yeah. Yo, Joe!
And I think this was...
Circle.
This was harder to find, wasn't it?
No.
Because it was...
No.
Was it not?
No.
I thought it was, because I never saw it.
No, actually, the Arctic one is more hard. I mean, honestly, the Arctic one, from what I've found out, is the hardest one to find, because most people that have the Arctic one do not want to let go of it because they like the color scheme. It's very cohesive, and it works.
Oh, yeah? Because I remember finding the Arctic one, like, all over the shelves.
Well, back when these things were released, not many people picked those up, but since then, they have gone in scarcity because there's a lot of people that had got hold of it and do not want to let go of them. And the ones that you do find, it's very hard to find them complete because people really don't want to get rid of them. I mean, they are pretty difficult to try to get hold of, though.
It's hard to find that Ruination complete if you find it mint in box because it doesn't come with the chess piece for Mecha Octane.
That's very true. I mean, it's got that little bitty, that little chess piece that plugs on just like your normal onslaughts and stuff. That's what is crazy about this whole thing when they released that is because it's like, what? This is like an 80s combiner being released in like early 2000. It's very strange, but honestly, I think it worked and it really did bring back a lot of collectors in the market and stuff. When that thing came out, a lot of them were like, holy crap, that's like G1. What the hell? You know, and then that really, you know, drug some guys back into the fandom when that came out. Just that one alone, not to mention the Scourge and the Bludgeon repaint, the Megatron Bludgeon repaint, and the Hero Prime was repainted as Scourge as well.
Well, if you think about it, when Car Robot was released, it literally had every generation represented. You had Bodicus for G1, you had Black Convoy for G2, and then you had the Beast Wars Transmetal characters there. The only person who was new was Gigatron. So it was like, ooh, all the bad guys are going to be all across the board.
Yeah.
But then you had some people that are crazy, like, oh my god, freaking Brave Max, you know, but that's for a different story.
He's not a combiner. We don't bring him up.
I know, right? We'll talk about city bots later.
We won't have that much to talk about.
The problem is we'll have 2 hours to talk about because it's like freaking like so many of them, but like so many crazy gimmicks they do.
It'd be G1 front heavy, and then you'll just all just frown in disappointment at Metroplex right at the end.
Yeah. Well, that's so, it for robots in disguise.
So,
Mr. Byrne, what's the next one on our list?
Are we done? We're done interrupting? All right.
Interrupting squirrel.
Damn! Here it is. Ready? You guys slapped.
All right, so after our idea, the next set of combiners we didn't get until Energon. And we're not going to talk about the pants formers that most of Energon was comprised of. But...
Wait, we're not going to talk about the horrible Dinobot combiner?
That's it. No.
Technically not a pants combiner because they couldn't switch around. Grimlock was always on top and Swoop was always...
Well, that just means Swoop was always pants. Instead of, them being able to change their undies every now and then. So, in Energon, we got three combiners. We got two Decepticons. We got one Autobot. These went back to the G1 5 style Scramble City sort of combiners. So there was Superion Maximus, there was Constructicon Maximus, and there was Bruticus Maximus. Superion Maximus had Silverbolt, I believe it had Skydive, it had Fireflight. I think it had two characters that were named differently than the G1. Crap. I accidentally closed the wiki.
There it is again. Crap. That was an awesome robot. Crap robot.
Hey, someone needs to make Crap Robot. I mean, I can be the host of TFYLP.
I'm working on it. That was 69.
Let's see. Dead air. So much fun. Oh, shoot.
I'm thinking...
So, Superior Man...
Crab 69.
Crab 69.
Oh, I guess it didn't. Crab
69. I'm going to write that one down.
All right, Superion Maximus, I guess it wasn't Silverbolt. It was Stormjet, Sky Shadow, Terra Dive, Treadshot, and Windrazor. And with the limbs for all three of these combiners, they consisted of two molds that were repainted. Let's find the other combiners before I even try talking about them. Shoot. So did you guys have experience with the Energon combiners?
Yes, I do. I actually have the Devastator.
I've got all three of them.
I actually had the Bruticus as well.
I had the Japanese versions because I couldn't be bothered searching for them individually in Australia. It's like, screw it, I'm just going to import the Japanese version. Full sets.
I actually held out in the last version of the Bruticus one that they came out with, the United. I hopped on it, but then they waited so long to do a re-release of the other two combiner bits for the fans project thing because we were doing the reissue of them, and I just sold it. And then a month later, they came out with it, and I was pretty gutted about that. But as for standalone robots, I would say it was an okay set. But when it came to like the combined mode, all the little... things where the guns make the feet and the hands and such. I was not a fan of that at all. And it really, I think it ruined those combiners because they could have done so much more with that, and I was glad that they actually had that add-on kit that came out for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they tried to avoid that, you know, just pile of parts that you had to throw away with the G1 combiners every time you took them apart. You know, it became guns, it became weapons on the vehicle mode, but it definitely sort of hindered the robot mode when you had to have something that became a foot also become a hand. And it just sort of made for like gangly looking hands, and a couple of them had all right parts that made feet, but
yeah, I mean, the thing is with the Devastator, actually I got that one off a friend of mine and gave it to my son, because you know I was trying to get him into some of the newer bots and stuff like that, and he liked it. He thought it was pretty cool, but the center portion becomes a large steam shovel, which is pretty much one of the ones they'd use in like the diamond mines, like an oversized excavator is what it is. It's a pretty cool robot, like on its own, but when you combine it, it does have a lot of issues. Like the head tends to like tilt sideways a lot on it because of the way the locking mechanism works on it. But the biggest thing that I had an issue with was the feet portions, because they plug in with these little bitty pegs, and it doesn't really hold very well, and they just tend to just fall right off, because the leg portions are supposed to be earth movers, or if you want to call them loaders, or what they are. And they make nice solid legs, but the problem is they just, those plug-in portions for those feet just doesn't work very well. And the actual combiner ports, like the actual hex port and the, you know, the peg and hole, I'm glad that they actually did what they did with that portion, because it made it to the point that, you know, with all your G1 combiners, you would have issues with the head snapping off because it's such a thin little piece of plastic. These were a lot more beefier, and they actually had a metal pin that went through them to actually help hold them together even tighter. So there was a lot of engineering that they actually pushed into this to make it a little stouter of a connection port, which you guys are seeing a lot of that in your third-party products now. And yeah, that's where all that stuff came from. And
yeah, those ports basically spawned most of the recent combiners. I mean, they sort of mimicked it with like Fall of Cybertron and with the Power Core combiners, except for those – they went with sort of a weaker connection. But yeah, that's the combiner ports were pretty solid on those Energon combiners.
Yeah, and I was really, really sad to see them not, like a third party, not try to tackle the Devastator mold. But I think it was just the whole thing was so awful because the way it was designed, because it was two cranes, two loaders, and a steam shovel. It was like, there's no dump truck. There's no cement mixer. Is this really weird that they wouldn't give us those? But I see what they were trying to do, because they were trying to experiment and see if people would actually buy combiners again. And I can see why they did what they did with the doubled up limbs.
Yeah. So I pulled up a picture of Superior Maximus here. And I have a picture of all three of the combiners. So you can see here that you have right here, the leg is the same mold as this arm, and this arm is the same mold as this leg. With the larger deluxe, and Energon did a single deluxe as the middle, and really they were a bit larger than the deluxes at the time. Well, maybe not. But and then they had four basic size figures, and the basic size figures were definitely larger than the basics at the time, to make a pretty good proportion robot. Unfortunately, I think the biggest problem with most of these is that they didn't While the connectors for the arms and legs were really nice, the center body for a lot of these tended to fall apart. It didn't peg together very well. And so, especially Superior Maximus here was just a floppy mess when you combined them.
I agree with you, because my Superion, where the nose cone is supposed to connect to his chest plate when he in combined form, refuses to lock in.
Well, yeah, it just sort of slides into a little groove that's too wide for it to really even matter. Yeah, it was not very well designed.
Did any of you guys get hold of the add-on kit for that one?
No, it's just too expensive. But at present prices.
I got that on kits. That one. We talked about that last time, I think. Snowman set.
Yeah. Well, and the big thing with all these combiners, at least here in the States, was that the wave that had the second limbs for these combiners were right at the tail end of Energon and were extremely hard to find. I know I never found them as when I was collecting these, and so I had, three. Well, actually, I never even found Bruticus. Bruticus was a tail end combiner that was hard to find. But my Constructicon Maximus, my Superior Maximus, I never even found the last two arms for both of them, or the last two figures.
Well, the funny thing is these combiners themselves have been released so many different times in different waves, and the colors were changed so often as well. That was a crazy thing. They actually kept. It's like they kept trying to recycle every one of these molds that they could in any color they can, but really not trying to improve on any other portion of it. To me, I think that was kind of a waste. Hasbro, I think, probably could have engineered or retooled some of these a little differently so that way people would have found them more desirable. But at the time, they actually were doing pretty good about reaching into the market to see if there was an interest, which I think that's what really spawned the following combiner we're probably going to be talking about soon here in the Generations line.
Yeah. So to wrap it up, for the Decepticon combiners, you had Bruticus Maximus, who is composed of Barricade, Blackout, Blight, Kickback, and Stormcloud. So you can see him here, and I believe they were all in all these released in what Battle for Energon, I think was the name of the subline right at the tail end of Energon. And so out of the three combiners, I believe he was the hardest to find, if I'm not mistaken.
Even in Japan, he was actually Viltron or Devastator was the harder one to get, but he was also considered an exclusive, so he was quite expensive as well. Superion was the cheapest of the three.
And then Constructicon Maximus consisted of Steamhammer, Bone Crusher, Duststorm, Sledge, and Wide Load. And you can see them here. And he was definitely just the weakest of the three. You can see right here, this arm was basically just the vehicle mode attached to the peg. And you turn this little Energon or this clear plastic claw out to be a hand. So not a lot of engineering went into that one.
So that's it for Energon Superlink, isn't it?
Yeah, unless we want to talk about pants. We can talk about pants for the rest of the day.
We could talk about Grimlock and Swoop, but that may scar people.
Here, let's just give a small sampling of... Let me pull this up. So terrible.
It really is Swoop up Grimlock's ass. Am I allowed to say that? I did. So
yeah, We already got the R rating. What are we going to do about it now?
Too late.
Thank you all for that.
Wow, wow, wow.
I was nothing but family and wholesome until you all came
along. Lies.
Lies? Screw you.
So there you go. There's the
wow.
Grimlock.
All that crap. I mean,
and the weird thing about these two is they didn't even work like the rest of the line. So Grimlock couldn't combine with any of the other Autobots as the top, and Swoop couldn't be the pants for any other Autobot. It was
just because they were heterosexual.
No, I mean, they were
they were
very committed life partners. They just they didn't need anyone else.
They were committed to the relationship.
All right, it was a bromance.
It was a
bromance on a different yes. level.
Says the Swede. All right.
So let's see. After RID, there was – or not RID. We just did Energon. So after Energon, there was really a lull in combiners until – basically, Revenge of the Fallen, wasn't it? Can you think of any combiners during that time?
Yeah, I think Devastator was the next one.
We would have had a list and just researched it, but we didn't.
No, that's too easy.
So we're just going to wing it.
Yeah, power. Well, I guess it all.
Well, Power Core combiners is probably what would be next in the line because, I mean. Other than Devastator out of the movie line, I don't think there were any other combiners.
Yeah, I'm just trying to
acknowledge that line.
Oh, not really.
There is nothing wrong with Power Core combiners.
Yes, there is.
No. Here we go.
Except for the third party.
Everybody get your boxing gloves on because I am on the side of Hang here. They were not that horrible.
Oh, like I give a shit that you're on the side of hate. I still think it sucks, all right?
And I take that side as well. I love the Power Core combiners.
Uh-oh.
Shut up! You are so far away from all reality. I'm not even talking about physically. So, I mean, no.
Guys,
no way in the world.
I also liked Power Core combiners.
Wow, dude. Wow. Brett's like, I'm out.
I have quite a few of them, except for the...
I have all of them.
See, I don't
but
think...
I have real combiners, all right? Real combiners, not that shit.
I should know.
He wants to call it crap, but I mean, if
I do,
honestly, I mean, I will be honest with you. Every center torso that came out worked very well in its own right. It actually worked and made a convincing alt mode, made a convincing robot, and worked very well to allow you to be able to plug the drones in. Now, the drones were lacking. Yes, they didn't turn into robots, but they did turn into limbs. Some of them were very convincing limbs, but some of them sucked. I will admit that. And that's where it did not work very well.
Does anyone know what this is?
That's an action master.
Which is the best thing ever.
I take a toy. You ready? Watch this. First time ever. What is this?
That is...
It's a rat trap. Do you know what this is?
That's
it's a fuzzy gray piece.
That is blue sticky shit.
It's blue tack.
There you go. There's your combiner. There's your power core combiner right there. Alright? That's it. I just made a power core combiner right there. Wait a minute. I know what you're thinking.
For audio you know what listeners, you're thinking.
He doesn't
just
have a leg. Alright, you ready? Watch this. Here we go. Blue tack. There you go.
Attack, action.
There you go. There's his legs.
To a generation.
He stands just like that. There you go. That's what they were. You just took a piece of crap and you stuck it to a decent toy, minus the little blue tack.
I'll give you that. That's why I'll give you that. And that's why I really wouldn't consider them in this discussion because.
No, but you did. See, well, and you took the side of everyone else, which is why I had to bring out the blue tack to explain it.
All right? No. All I said is I like them. I didn't say that they were true combiners because at the end of the day.
And here's all I'm going to say on my whole argument. Did this plus this not put that power core into perspective?
Well, I mean,
thank you.
They are to me exactly what Magmatron is. I'm not going to consider Magmatron a combiner.
Even though he's three
animals that turn
into. We actually forgot Magmatron, and I tell you what, that is a freaking awesome combiner.
It doesn't count.
That thing is awesome.
I'm not saying he's not awesome. I'm a Beast Wars guy. He's sitting right behind me.
Oh, Magmatron from Neo.
Yeah,
yes, that thing is badass.
If them don't transform into robots, I guess. Yeah. If we're going to say the Power Core combiner thing, that would be the other issue, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm sorry, Power Core, this is what I think of right here. It's a little sticky shit right here. I can make any Power Core I want with enough of this.
Okay, but I mean, what I was trying to get at before he decided to go off on his little tangent.
I made a point about when they came out, what I had on my desk.
Hey, at least there was two third-party companies out there that were willing to try to tackle the problem. One of them gave us one of the coolest third-party toys that ever came out in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Paladin, which is freaking sick. It does come apart, and it will combine with a power core combiner. It does not matter which one, it will combine with it. And also the third-party set that came out with the two World War II tanks and two World War II aircraft. And honestly, those right there I think are great selling points for anybody that wants to try the power core combiners, but just buy the torsos. Don't worry about the drones. Because to be honest, every one of those robots was solid. I honestly kept my drones in a box, and I posed all my freaking center portion robots. And also, the other thing I really did like about the Power Core combiners, I know a lot of us didn't even talk about dealing with this, they all came with their own mini-con. They became armor or a weapon. Those things were highly posable and great little add-on toys.
Yeah, see,
was a lot of gimmicks they did right.
See, the Power Core combiners combiners believe in strapping their children to their chests so that when they get shot at, the child takes the brunt of the damage.
Listen,
that's why you call me Chino.
I took a little bit of blue tack and the G1 stuff I had nearby. All right,
let's see.
Here you go. All right, all I need to do is get another limb. All right, a couple feet, and I'm gonna have a combiner here.
Brett, right. You have to explain this to our audio people. What the hell are you actually looking at? This is hilarious.
We have Kabaya Prime as the head. It's not it's Skystalker as the body. Starscream as one arm. I just need a little more blue tack. I can have, like, Thundercracker. I can even do Dirge and Ramjack as the legs. This thing would be huge. I mean, look at that. Look. And that's just as good as your freaking Power Core shit. I'm sorry. And all I need to do is invest in, you see this right here? $3.99 blue tack. This stuff's awesome. That's it. That's all you need. All right? I'm done. There you go. Talks amongst yourselves.
Hey, Brett. After this, me and you are going to have a little powwow. We're going to start our own third-party company.
It's going to be called Blue Tack Inc. All right? All you need is a little imagination and a lot of this right here. This stuff's awesome.
So let's get back on to real combiners.
That was a real combiner. I just didn't.
So,
don't be dissing my. I got to come up with a name. Hang on a minute. Go ahead.
So, Revenge of the Fallen, we had a really crappy Supreme Devastator, which we're not going to consider that a combiner either.
Gorilla Stator, you mean?
Because he's only vehicles. So he doesn't count as vehicles.
But then you had this amazing little guy. I do like this one. This is the Legend combiner. It's 7? 7 robots, and they turn into the vehicles, they turn into the robots, and then they combine into Devastator. And this thing was a cool little set. And it was at the next real combiner in Transformers history. Yeah, there you go. And it actually came out in the Constructicon Green as well. Did it not?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, that was exclusive of some sort.
Well, I mean, the
not sold in a set.
I would say that the thing I like about that one is it did come out with all 6 of the original, and then it came out with an extra guide that was the 7th one, which is a scraper. Because a lot of people don't know what that particular vehicle is designed for. It's basically what they use to, if they're paving paths for, basically for like rock quarries and stuff like that, they would use this large truck that has a large blade on the bottom that would literally scrape the earth up into the belly of the vehicle, and then it would close itself off and go dump it off. But that's exactly what those things were called. They're called scrapers. There's a lot of people don't know that.
Was he in the actual movie, or was I think he was just concept art? Wasn't he?
I think he was just concept art.
And he's like some crazy like spider looking Constructicon, really crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
To be fair, most of the designs in the movie should have stayed as concept art.
I don't know. Have you seen some of the concept art for Revenge of the Fallen? I mean, some of those Constructicons were just terrible.
I thought that was all of Revenge of the Fallen.
Hey, as much as Revenge of the Fallen is bad, it still has the best fight scenes in any Transformers movie.
We're going to stick to talking about combiners. If not, I'd be ranting about POE for the next 2 hours alone.
Oh, we're going to end up having an episode where we're going to do nothing but rant about the movies. And I'm going to spend the filmmaking aspect, but that's just me.
Look, my wife, we were watching AOE together, sadly.
Oh, here it goes, here it goes.
She saw Optimus Prime jump on Grimlock. Ooh, spoilers. Anyway, she saw Optimus Prime jump on Grimlock, and she said, "That's stupid," and then fell asleep. And then missed the whole last half hour of the movie.
It was stupid, though.
Wow.
And she suffered through the first 3 films with me. And all she could say is, Shia LaBeouf is a whiny little bitch. Why have they not killed him yet?
That's okay. He's done killed his career.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. You should have your wife on that cast.
I'll ask her to talk instead.
Next up, TFLP.
I had my wife on the cast. Go ahead.
Oh, goodness. So did anyone have any experience with the Little Legends combiner?
No.
Honestly, I have not, but I've done enough research that I think if I
come
across it, I probably would get him.
Oh, God.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
This would no, I didn't.
Well, I knew you did. I saw you hold it up earlier.
I just get off on this. Look at
this. That was just a bunch of random Hot Wheels he blue tacked together.
It fell apart. God dang it. Come on. That's the only thing I hate about it. It falls apart too easy.
I thought you were going to say blue tech could fix everything.
This is great for this. This is the best part about it. There you go. Look at his head. Yeah, stupid!
Oh, is that his head?
That's his head.
Yeah, his head is
he's,
real,
he's a little bit limp, isn't he?
His head's on a...
He's a limp in the head.
I don't know. Mine seems to have no problems. I mean...
It's very erect.
There's to it. You're younger.
It's had its little blue pill.
Sorry.
Okay, so who was next?
I was working on the ultimate combiner, but...
Next is Power Core Combiners, right?
No. Yeah. It's
I was working on it, and it didn't work, but I will make it. I need more of this. With enough of this, you can make it work.
We should have a special episode just with Power Core Combiners. Absolutely.
I know who won't be on it.
Got it! I got better things to do. Host it.
So if we're sticking to combiners that are robots that combine, the next combiner is, I suppose, the Fall of Cybertron, Vertigus.
Yes, that's the next one in line.
That's he's the repaint of the Energon Vertigus, right?
No, Fall of Cybertron Vertigus was the new mold.
Yeah. Oh, Fall of Cybertron, right.
Yeah, so we had 5 deluxes. This was, of course, based on the video game of the same name, Fall of Cybertron. And,
it's working.
Should we be worried that he just said that?
Yeah, he should. This won't last long.
So this went back to
this is the Star Wars combiner. All right. Did you see this?
Brett, you have got to put pictures of that on our freaking.
Look at that.
On our Facebook.
Awesome.
Well, you better take pictures.
Pictures you need to take. That's
okay. So what was it? It was who was the torso?
Han Solo was it?
It was Barada, torso, Boba Fett for the arm, and is it Imperial Gunner
for the other arm?
Yeah, Ramba.
R2 for the leg.
Ramba. And R2, because you can't do anything wrong. And I was going to do a man-to-man for the staff, but he fell apart. I need more blue tech. See? You can make a combiner out of anything. That was the first Star Wars vintage combiner. You saw it first here.
Hey, yeah, what's his name?
By the way, you know who our sponsors are, right? Does everyone remember? Because Mike was supposed to mention our sponsors.
So
Mr. Mega Toys fan.
Remember that one?
What's this? Something about something about a super action figure. What? What was that? Huh? What? Huh? What? So
Jason, go ahead and hit it up. Go ahead.
This is brought to you by Capture Prey. Great toys, great service, great prices. CaptureProey.com. And also Mega Toy Fan at any of your local conventions. You can also find him on Facebook. Or even here.
If you're lucky.
Yes.
I'm going to start a...
I did want to mention Master Shooter Collectibles as well.
By the way, I also wanted to say that if someone would like a custom-made vintage Star Wars combiner, I have plenty of blue tack. I'll make one. At a substantial increase.
It's going to come in some exclusive packaging too, guys.
You know it. I think I got some comic bags or something around here.
Dude, I'll send you a cardboard box with a drawing on it. It'll work.
Hell yeah!
The bag will be made of blue tech.
That's right. You have no idea. This is great.
We should just rename
it. Anyhow, I think we were talking about the Fall Cybertron Bruticus.
Yes, we was.
So,
Fall Cybertron Bruticus.
Since I know you're the one that acquired all the ones I have.
The Cybertron Bruticus was, of course, it based on the G1 Bruticus. So you have Onslaught as the torso. You have, I want to call him Rotor and Movor now, but I know that's wrong.
Vortex.
You have Swindle. Yeah, you have Vortex. You have Swindle. You have Brawl, and you have that guy.
Three, two,
blast off.
In the wrong colors, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, the only one that was in the wrong colors is Vortex over here, is it not?
No. There was never a desert camo original Combaticon.
What are you talking about?
That thing over there.
This?
The Taylor arm. Yep.
You mean the brown and silver Blastoff?
Yes.
There's not a desert camo about it.
Whatever, that sure as hell isn't dark brown.
No, he's just a little
brown G1 color.
He's just a little creamier. He
yeah, I bet
he hasn't been in the sun in for a while. He's he's just gotten a little pasty. You can't fault the guy for getting.
And are we gonna go
at least it did match
the green G2?
He's been playing video games.
I will say this one. Which one had the G2 colors? Was that the San Diego Comic-Con?
No, the G2 colors.
Amazon.
The Amazon.
It was the
that
Amazon
was
BBS
closer,
shared exclusive.
That was closer to the G2 colors than that is to the G1.
Yeah. Well.
So why don't you have the G2 sitting next to you? Because you know I know you have it.
Because then I would have to rip them out from the other figures, and I didn't want to knock the entire shelf down.
Yeah,
this one was easier to get out. So with this Bruticus, how many? I think there was 8 versions.
Watch how you're holding him.
I think there was 8. Yeah,
he doesn't like that.
This messed
that
up.
That would hurt.
I just saw how wrong that was.
By the way, for those listeners, he's holding him by the crotch. Just letting you know.
It's just the easiest way to get. The easiest way to get purchase on them. So, I believe there was like 8 versions of this guy. You had the San Diego Comic-Con version, which was supposed to be, at the time, was the most game accurate.
Did you say gay or game?
Game.
Okay, go ahead.
Then you had the G2 version, which was a BBTS Amazon shared exclusive. You had the Fruit Loops version that was sold at retail.
Skittles.
Yes. And then you had the repaint or the remolds into the Wreckers.
Would classify the Wreckers as a different character, so I wouldn't. And
yeah, that's a complete different. I would honestly, yeah. I'm kind of
even though it was a really stretch, they still managed to put new names on them. So
yeah. Okay, so we'll scratch.
But you're right; they are remolds.
And then you got the platinum version, which is the one I'm holding, and the platinum version is basically the SDCC version.
That's the one that comes with a Grimlock, isn't it?
Yeah. So for everyone who spent ridiculous amounts of money on the SDCC version, yeah.
Suckers!
Honest.
Welcome to Hasbro.
There are like slight color hue difference between the between those two versions. And then you didn't even mention the Takara versions where they're more metallicized.
Well, yeah, the United version.
Right.
Yeah, and the United versions for toy accuracy, the United version, or for game accuracy, the United versions just blow everything else out of the water. and so that leads us to Ruination, which is the repaint, the record repaint of Fall of Cybertron, Bruticus. So in that one, you had Twin Twists. You had the other one.
Yeah, I love that other one. That was my favorite. That other one was awesome.
You had Impactor. You had Twin Twists. You had Top Spin.
You had Whirl.
Whirl and
And Roadbuster.
Roadbuster, yeah.
And
looked like this, maybe.
Did you happen to have it on hand?
No, yeah. They're all displayed individually, so I'll pull them up.
Is that it right there? That ungodly looking thing?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Orange and green and white looking monstrosity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that honestly was like, to me, I think that was a better setup compared to the actual Bruticus that came out. I actually liked this one a lot better.
Yeah, when they weren't trying to pass off, you know, the biggest problem with the Fall of Cybertron combiner is that it was five deluxes that tried to do the G1 style Scramble City combination. And so you had this really lanky looking onslaught in the middle of the rest of the figures that just did not do a good job portraying the character. I mean, he ended up looking, well, lanky, especially compared to the game model, compared to, you know, the G1 figure.
Now, this picture that I just popped up, are all those the weapons and everything that you see in that picture, is that what came with them? So yes. Did it come with more weapons and accessories than the original?
It came with a lot of mech tech like weapons.
Wasn't just a straight repaint.
No, he was not just a straight repaint. The heads were remolded. There were repaints, but the weapons that it came with were mech tech, but they didn't have lockout, or they didn't have the issues of some of the gimmicks not working where you couldn't lock the weapon out. The only weapon that really retracted was the buzzsaw blade, which only made sense because of the way it was designed. But the rest of them actually worked very, very well.
Yeah, I would say most of them were. They definitely took some designs from MechTech, but a couple of them were actually designed after guns from the game. And then the rest of them were sort of like Twin Twist came with a like twin drill weapon,
which you can actually fudge into the tank mode is actually making the drill. It actually worked.
And I believe they still all came with the same weapons that that Bruticus did. So really, I mean, at the end of the day, you were getting a lot more value with the Wreckers.
Yeah, the Wreckers did. It did come with every single solitary weapon the original combiner came with. It just came with the bonus mech tech weapons. So that way, it gave you a little bit of a diversity between them.
And that was that was at the time when Hasbro had downsized everything, and
which there's now a fix for this.
Yeah.
Actually, there's two fixes out there right now. There are add-on kits you can get for that particular Bruticus that actually fixes the feet, so that way the feet actually have more of a game look appearance to it. And all the combiner portion pieces that come within that kit actually forms a trailer for Onslaught. And then you can put Blast Off on the back of it. There is that version that's out there. But the latest version, if Brett knows exactly what I'm talking about, it's that they came up with a larger torso. I'm trying to remember the name of the company, but I know Vangelist just did a review of it, and so did Piog. But it's a larger Voyager-sized torso for Onslaught that really beefs out the character. It comes with a lot more bits and such to make it more game accurate. It does require you to have to split Vortex in half to be able to connect him to the new connector portion that forms the arm. And as for Blastoff, you have to break into boards bits to combine to make the other arm. It's kind of scary, but it doesn't really damage the toy because the toys actually kind of come apart pretty easy.
I don't know what to say about that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, if you've seen the review, I mean, honestly, you can go either watch Evangelist or Piog, because a lot of you guys out there know you do watch and listen to those guys. They both did reviews of it. It really makes that combiner freaking awesome. It's got a brand new portion where Swindle has always suffered from the whole hollow back syndrome. You know, hollow back girl, there you go. Anyway, what basically it does is the existing Swindle head and chest portion stays retracted to the back that completely covers that. Well, it's got a new portion that plugs into the front that gives him a whole new head sculpt along with a better looking chest piece. And it also gives him new guns. As for Brawl and Brawl's foot issue, there's add-on bits that you plug onto it, so that way it gives him better feet, and they do transform and stay on him during the Hall transformation portion, so you don't have to take those off. It gives him this gigantic Macross missile spam backpack that plugs onto the back of him, or if it's even in tank mode, it looks ridiculous, but it's hilarious. But it's still freaking cool because of what it does, because that whole portion that's his backpack folds into this foot portion that actually plugs onto the bottom. And as for the arms are basically these two gigantic guns you give to Blastoff and Vortex. And what you do is you have to, like I said, you have to split Vortex in half in order to connect him to this gun. But the gun actually has a better hand that folds out. The hand is articulated, and it also has every one of the fingers do move, but it does have a 5mm portion port that's built into the hands, so that way it doesn't suffer from having to peg, you know, a gun into his hand or something like that, so it will actually hold any weapon you decide to put in the hands of this guy. Same thing goes for Blastoff. Blastoff, you have to take him apart. He breaks off into like 5 different portions. And then you basically plug them onto this gun, and then the gun basically pulls out, has a hand and such. Now, the crazy thing is whenever you actually combine these things together with the newer Onslaught, the Onslaught has 2 holes that are plugged into the for the shoulder portions. You shove the barrel of the gun in, and then the barrel of the gun actually folds over and locks in. It keeps the arms from falling off. It's probably one of the most ingenious things I've ever seen. And there's a lot of engineering in this particular add-on that you can buy, because when you buy this this Onslaught, it comes with all these add-on bits. But it also comes with color change portions for you guys out there that only have the Skittlesk. That's the one that actually comes with default. But it also comes with a newer one for the new reissued one, the 2-pack that you get from Toys R Us, the one that we just got done talking about. For you. The one you just held up?
The premium.
The premium. Yeah, it actually comes with those. So if you guys have the SDCC, you can actually use those portions with it. Now, the Onslaught is in a darker, I would say it's probably closer to the Generation 1 colors, but it's got some slight differences in the color for the green. The green seems to be a little brighter on it. And when you do put him into combination mode, it does have a swappable face. The face has like the standard Bruticus-looking face, which looks a little more defined in this new sculpt. But then it's also got this crazy rage face where it looks like he's just like scowling. It's really, really, really cool. What I'm going to try to do is I'll look up the video and I will post it into our Facebook, so that way you guys will actually be able to see this for and all of our audio and video guys out there, so that way you guys can actually see the guy I'm talking about, because this thing really makes all those combiners that you guys had complained about saying that Onslaught's too small. This makes Onslaught just as big of a beefcake as he needs to be able to fill in this entire robot. So it's one of the best third-party add-ons I've seen that's come out, well, at least for this year. So, like I said, it's a really, really interesting set. I believe BBTS has it up.
Here we go.
Vangelis has it under Microblaze Creations.
Microblaze Creations. That's the name of the company.
His reviews.
Here we go. I found pictures of it. So here you go. Wow, that really does make Onslaught look different.
Oh, he's huge. It makes him look freaking ginormous compared to the rest.
Yeah, he's he looks a lot more like his video game. Oh man.
Like I said, it gives Brawl a really good angle tilt. Sadly, Swindle kind of suffers because it's kind of a fake ankle tilt with him, because it's just the front portion that swivels, because there's a 5mm port there that you can actually plug that whole portion in. Yeah. But it's about the only portion that actually suffers. And the other thing I actually forgot to mention is you guys know about the gigantic freaking flamethrower cannon thing he has on the arm for blast-off. It actually comes with a two portions that actually plug in over his hand that hides the hand and turns it into that gun. So, I mean, it really does make this set much more worth the value that you guys have. You know, it's going to be sad because everybody's going to see all these little Onslaughts being sold left and right because people don't want them anymore because they get this add-on. But, yeah, the two little bits that are hanging off that blast-off, those will actually plug in over the hand to form the hand cannon. So,
nice.
It really makes this set more worth it. Now, if this doesn't make a lot of you guys out there try to go out and get it, I can understand. But this really does improve a combiner that Hasbro put. It looks like Hasbro put a lot of love into trying to do what they did for the time being and for the budget that everybody was suffering from at the time when this thing came out. But it really does add a lot more articulation and such to them. It really makes him more solid.
Well, at the time, the Generations line was only deluxes, and that's also something that sort of stopped them from having a larger Onslaught to begin with.
Right, but the thing is with me, like I was saying, this set really makes this set more worth the value. I mean, if you're one of those guys that owns almost every mold of this thing, I wouldn't see why you wouldn't jump on this add-on kit versus the one where it just gives you a better breastplate.
Right here is why.
Because $120.
It's $120, but if you think
holy
about
crap.
It, that's $120. But you're getting a Voyager size figure with a complete add-on kit that fixes every issue there is. So, I mean, to me, I think it's well worth the money, because if you've already spent $100 on the combiner itself and you're invested in these guys.
Oh, so Onslaught is a completely new mold then.
Yeah, it's a complete different.
Yeah, it's a completely new toy.
Less than $120. See?
I agree with you. Brett, I agree with
this. That or this?
Well, what I'm saying is, for the guys out there that want to get add-on kits, you know, I mean, add-on kits is one of the big things that's out there that, you know, a lot of people want to get, because I
can understand that, but not when it surpasses the price of the damn toy or comes close to it. I mean, that's ridiculous. $120. Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, it does come with the bits that make the combiner better. I mean, we've seen just figures alone go for $100 a piece. Just the figure, not including anything like that. So, I mean, I honestly don't think that's a bad value for that particular toy. Because when I saw that come out, I've been kind of kicking myself for getting rid of it, at least the G2. Because I was like, this thing is just way too awesome. I like it. But what I want to do is hold off and see if maybe they do a G2 variant of that guy. Because if it did, I'd be all over it myself. Because I'm, being a G2 nut. But could you imagine if they decide to release that in a G2 color and then turn back around and then do a freaking, impactor like that? People would jump all over that because that's awesome.
Because they're going to, because they can make the money. Of course they're going to.
Of course they're going to. And you know the guys that are going to jump on this are the guy. Everybody that owns an SDCC, everybody that's bought that premium, or anybody that owns the freaking, the Skittles. They know by releasing this one toy, they have three different type of collectors, or one of those guys that has every one of those that is not happy with that onslaught. Never know. Somebody might end up buying buy three of them just to fix all three of his combiners he's got on the shelf. There's people out there that do that. Because some people, they don't even bat an eye at dropping $600 for a full-on third-party combiner. I don't see why they wouldn't see this as a cheaper alternative. Because there's some people that might want Warbitron that's coming out. They can't afford it, but they can afford this to fix the combiner that they have on the shelf that they actually like because of the video game. So I can see this one actually being one of the better fixes to a modern combiner that's come out. I think this is probably the best fix that I've seen so far. The only thing that really scares me is the whole, I got to disassemble two robots to be able to combine these things into its robot mode. That would deter me a little bit, but I can see why some people wouldn't be afraid to do that. Especially if they're just going to put it on the shelf in combined mode anyway.
All right. So I guess that would leave only one group of combiners remaining. That's Creo combiners.
Creo!
That may take a while, though.
Let me just say, having the Creo combiners, and me and Brett, I showed him the Creo combiners when I went to TFCon. I brought him with me. I didn't know if he was interested in them. He really wasn't. I can understand why. They're okay. I think they're a great novelty, to be honest. But I don't see them as being a real hardcore.
No. What was that? Yeah, you're going to give those to me?
You don't have them.
What's that?
Yeah, so you can just package those up and send them my way.
Hang on, let me take one out of the baggie.
I can't remember the
those
name.
Those are the Machine Wars ones, right?
No, yeah. Those were the exclusives to
Think about it.
I can't remember.
Slygacon.
Yeah.
There's one.
So Slygacon did
Black Zarek.
Creons. Yeah, Black Zarek. You had Scorponok.
Scorponok was a very, 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 very tough one to get.
Yeah, I got the prototype of that.
Drone.
Yeah, you had Omega Supreme, and you had the Omega Sentinel.
I had Omegatron, which was pretty hard to get. But yes.
Who was that?
Omegatron. I had to put the wings back on. Hang on. God dang it. Omegatron?
Oh, yeah. This
is the drone. I'm sorry, Omegatron. This is a drone. And then the Megatron, which was it's not really Diaclone, but the version that came out before Omega Supreme in black.
Falls apart. Very good.
And so they had made a bunch of custom.
You say a bunch. There were 20, well, except for the custom ones, which were Scorponox and this one.
Yeah.
And so I guess there were only 10 of those.
They made a few custom Creos that were exclusives for their convention.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's. I think that kind of brings us to what's coming out here pretty soon. And I know some people are like really on the fence about some of the stuff that's coming out. Some are not happy with some of it. Myself, I'm actually kind of ecstatic because I can see a lot of potential in what they're doing. But how do you guys feel about it?
So specifically, you're talking about Combiner Wars.
Yes, Combiner Wars.
2015 Generations is focusing on Combiners, and we've already seen two sets. We've seen the Aerobots, and we've seen the
Stuntagons.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say that if Australia Hasbro gets its shit together and allows and like does proper releases for these, I'll be definitely there. If not, I'm just going to import because Australia Hasbro does not know what they're doing. Sorry if you guys are listening to this show for whatever reason, but you guys have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, why are you guys listening to this show? I mean,
get out there and make some damn toys. Distribute them. Right. Come on, damn it.
For me, I've been going back and forth. I've sort of been trying to determine whether I want to even collect these or not. I really like them. I really like what I've seen. Superion is better than Menasor. Menasor has some funky design choices, but then at the same time, Superion has always been like the most boring combiner ever. So I'm not super sold on both of these. If they release something like a Bruticus or like Predaking, I would probably have a really hard time saying no to those two. But right now I'm sort of on the fence. I'll probably end up getting them. I'm worried about their release schedule. I think I've said this before, like a couple weeks back. I'm really worried about them splitting up the combine. You can't complete a combiner in one wave. You know, the very first wave you're going to have Silverbolt. You're going to have two Aerobots. You're going to have three Aerobots and one Stunticon. And then in the second wave, you're going to have Motormaster, three Stunticons and one Aerobot. And that sort of makes me worry about that one limb for the Stunticon, that one limb for the Aerobots, that you're going to have to basically beat the competition in your area to get them. Because in my area, when a wave of Generations comes out, if you find it the day that it comes out or it's gone. And I mean, eventually, as more and more people have found them, they become easier to find, but that's usually about a month after they first show up. So it really makes me worry about the way they've decided to release these.
Have they not learned from Energon that you just cannot split up stuff like that?
I mean, I can see why they're doing this because I think what it is they've noticed with the way people collect nowadays that it's basically, okay, in order to hook anybody that is a combiner collector, I'm going to release only these, and then I'm going to release one Decepticon to lure them into the next wave. because they have no choice. They'll have to buy the next wave to complete the combiner. And that's kind of how they really want to focus on toy releasing, which, to be honest, nowadays a lot of people are not aware of this when it comes to release schedules, but the toys that are being manufactured really are being, you know, dictated by those. They're being dictated by the stores they're selling them from. And if the stores think that it's easier to sell stuff like that to get people to continuously shop at that particular store, then this is the way they handle it now. It's driven by marketing now. It's not driven as much by the engineering or the makers as much, which a lot of people are not absolutely aware of that, but that's exactly what is driving the market that direction.
Yeah, well, and like with Fall of Cybertron Verticus, Hasbro said that the retailers wanted, like, the reason why you had, you know, Skittles Bruticus on the retail shelf is because they claim that retailers want bright colors, or they want a mixture of color. And, you know, I would assume that they're throwing that one Stunticon in with the Aerobots, so you don't have four red, white, mostly red and white, you know, Autobots on the shelf at the same time. But I mean, I don't know. To me, I'm really hoping that that one Decepticon or that one, or that, yeah, the one Stunticon or the one Aerobot in those two waves is not one to a case or something like that either. Because that's just really going to mess up a lot of collectors with getting these things.
That's very true. And myself, like, when it comes to this entire combiner thing, I hope it succeeds because it's a really, really strong start. Some people are not a fan of Superion. I get it. Some people are fans of Menasor, but don't really like the proportions of some of the pictures that have been taken.
I just don't like his head.
I watched a couple other videos dealing with that particular toy. And these were actually shot at, you know, at different toy fairs and stuff like that when this thing came out. And the proportions and the way the Menasor is actually stanced and the actual official Hasbro, their video, honestly, I don't know what they were thinking. They should have had an actual toy designer there saying, hey, it's supposed to stand up like this, not all crouched and hunched over like a freaking gorilla or something, because they didn't have it stanced right. And I saw what they did at this toy fair, and it actually looks a lot better in person. Because they actually did like a whole walk around throughout, you know, walked all the way around it, 360 degrees around the toy, and it actually looks pretty cool. I'm enjoying the way that they're coming up with a new way to actually engineer the combination portion. Hopefully that's a mechanism that will not break and it will actually hold up pretty well. And to be honest, I actually like the size of every one of the bots that they're coming out with. They're not too terribly small, and they're not going to be too terribly large to the point that it's going to take all the room on your shelf, especially if you're a combiner, collector, if you're anything like if you're anything like me. I mean, I'm a G1 collector, but once you put a bunch of combiners on one shelf, it's took off a lot of that room, that you have very little room to actually position anything around.
So, and I think I've heard that the combined modes are as tall, if not a little taller, than the leader Jetfire.
Yeah, they're pretty much on par with leader Jetfire. Most people that had a leader Jetfire in hand, you know, he's a big toy. If you've never had a leader Jetfire, but you have a generation one Jetfire, those two pretty much stand eye to eye. So it's going to be a tall combiner. It's not going to be short. I would say it's going to be a little bit bigger than your G1s, but I mean, that's excluding Menasor, because Menasor has always been short.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think it's going to be a great year, I think, with these toys that they're coming out. I mean, my whole thing is, what I see is potential in this entire line that's coming out. You release one helicopter as an aerial bot. Well, what other combiners have has a helicopter? You have Defensor, and then you've got freaking Bruticus that both have helicopters.
And that Alpha Bravo is just straight up. He's straight up.
Bruticus? Vortex.
Swindle. Yeah, Vortex.
Yeah, and then you've got, and then you have the one that's coming out that's Wild Rider, but it's a truck. That could easily be repainted into an ambulance, and it could easily be repainted into a military Humvee. So there's a lot of potential in what they're doing. The only weird thing is, yes, they're releasing an Optimus Prime that combines with these. But what I have been saying, and I think I said this in a different cast, we talked about exclusives. I could see them releasing that Optimus Prime specifically for the guys out there that are going to be the BotCon guys that go and buy the four individual limbs that form Masquerade. And what you're going to probably see is repaints of every one of the Minotaur limbs as Masquerade. Yes, we're going to probably be suffering, Wild Rider as somebody else. But I see a lot of potential in what they're trying to do here because they are harking to the guys that are G1 collectors here, because G1 collectors are the only ones that really know who Superion is and who Minotaur is. But the other thing I was thinking is, if Hasbro does this the correct way, or if Takara does, they will release these things in Generation 2 colors as well. Because if they want, people to buy these things and buy them in mass and buy them in bulk and keep, that mold alive, the only way you can possibly do this is by re-engineering some of them slightly for other characters and then turn them back around and release Generation 2 counterparts. So that way you don't waste the mold, or you don't waste, the artistic value and the toys themselves. Because there's a lot of stuff you could do with this. There's way too many options with what they're releasing. But I don't know if any of you guys have thought of it that direction, because this is something I've heavily thought about. And there's the rumor of the Devastator. I don't know if you guys heard about that or not.
Yeah.
Were you guys all aware of that?
Yeah, somebody mentioned, there was a video mentioning it or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think there was a video with a couple of the designers.
Well, okay. The video that you guys watch with the designers, in the background there's supposed to be a Defensor that's standing there, and there's a Devastator. I looked closer at the video. Those are the Generation 1s that are standing back.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they're not the
they just placed there because it's the Combiners thing.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever in contention that those were those were Generations versions. I think the big thing is that it's assumed that they are dropping a subtle hint on what's coming.
It's a possibility, or it's a filmmaker aspect is the way I see it, is you put as many different kind of things in the background that relate to what's going on, whether it's the actual real thing or not.
It was just those two in the background, though. It was the big thing.
No, it wasn't, because you have to look at the other side of the guy. There were other toys and such sitting on the other side that had nothing to do with what was going on in that.
The whole room was filled with toys. I agree with on this, that it could have been just a filmmaker going, we're talking about Transformers, let's put as much Transformer toys in the background as possible.
Yeah, I had only seen like a couple of stills where Defensor and Devastator were just pretty much center screen.
Well, this is the thing, though. This is what's actually hitting it home with this. It's not that video that's actually putting it out there. It's a simple fact that somebody at Toys R Us got a coding for a gift set that's supposed to be coming out that's supposed to be Devastator.
Okay. I didn't know that.
That is where the whole rumor's coming from. Now, if, and what I'm saying is, if we end up getting a Devastator, yes, it better be a six-pack Devastator. I don't care if you give us a Legends figure that plugs onto the chest. Please make it six robots. You know, I kind of really wish they'd do that. The other thing I'm hoping is maybe a Scramble City. That'd be kind of interesting to be able to do that with that.
Well, I think that I think that's definitely something that they're going to shoot for. I mean, you don't want to design a whole line of figures that focus on being able to interchange and then release something that doesn't.
Right. And this is kind of what I was harking to when it comes to repaints, because everybody's like, oh, well, if they do it in green, then what else are we going to do? What I was thinking is if they do this and they do this the right way, we talked about exclusives, right? Amazon and BBTS are always getting some kind of exclusive. I could probably see them doing that, maybe the G2 yellow version. And yeah, probably for the guys that go out there, you know, and they do the crazy stuff, and even Brett can even vouch for this one, Orange Devastator is stupidly expensive. The G2 Orange Devastator is extremely expensive for what it is. And I could see them possibly doing that as a BotCon release, if they were going to do that the correct way. And this is my hypothetical thinking of how they could possibly do this and make the money the right way and not tank and go under. Now, maybe a Takara release would probably have more purple applications or something like that to maybe the green. They'd probably do something like that, because I see everything as, okay, Takara normally releases the pretty version of what we get over here. And then Amazon gets a crazy thing, and BotCon always gets this thing that's completely off the wall. That, right there, to me, I think would work with that mold.
I don't think they have to reuse as many of these as they possibly can. I think where they're going to make up their costs is they're going to have certain limbs that can be retooled across several figures. I mean, Alpha Bravo can become, you know, he'll be able to become Vortex. He could become, you know, needs for Defensor. And I'm sure some of these other figures, I mean, when you go back and look at like the Fall of Cybertron line, or I mean, even the Generations line now, is they've sort of started designing figures where not only do they give it like a new head, but they can take one figure and make it into something totally different. You look at Jazz and the Fall of Cybertron line to Sideswipe. I mean, the two vehicles look quite different, but it's the same figure. And that's probably where they're going to make up most of their cost for these. I fully expect some crazy, shared exclusives. We'll probably get some sort of premium edition of one of these guys. We might, if they do a Bruticus, I fully expect them to do a G2 Bruticus, because it's hot on the heels of the Fall of Cybertron one. They just, re-release it on Amazon and Big Bad. I mean, those did bad. I think they sold pretty well.
Right, and what I could see them doing with, like, if, because you have to always think about BotCon and all those too. I could probably see them taking that if they decided. I mean, if they wanted to do crazy stuff with these combiners and make their money back, they do the G2. But for like BotCon, maybe they release Ruination.
Well, BotCon will. The thing with BotCon is they usually lag several years behind. So I mean, if we do see something with these, it's probably going to be, two, 3 years in the future.
Right, but I mean, BotCon. Well, the big thing I'm thinking about is, everybody knows about the big stink that happened on eBay with the Generation 2 unreleased Menasor. it would be the stupidest thing in the world for them to not release that in G2 colors. Because that literally, I mean, put the entire color scheme that they completely ditched years back pretty much on the radar of almost every Transformer collector out there. Everybody's heard about it. So I don't see why they wouldn't release it either as a Amazon exclusive or maybe release it as a BotCon thing. And I was thinking Masquerade would be more of a BotCon thing because that's more of an obscure, weird thing that they would probably do. You know, because not everybody wants a Masquerade. But most people like, oh, they'll jump on a G2 versus that.
You know, I don't know. I could see Hasbro with already releasing Optimus as a combiner torso, using some of these guys and making some of the G1 guys to combine with them. I mean, they've already started. They've set the premise. So I don't find that too far fetched.
Well, the other thing I was thinking of is like, you know, say they do a the Bruticus. Say they do release a Bruticus because they do have the truck. They've pretty much released as Motormaster and Optimus. They can retool some of it to make that look like Onslaught. And then, you know, obviously we've got Wildrider could become Swindle, and then Alpha Bravo that becomes, you know, say a Vortex. We don't know what the space shuttle thing's going to look like, so it could be one of the aerial bots.
I think
they're going to retool and make something different for that.
No, I think we'll probably get new. If they do a Bruticus, I think we'll get new molds for Onslaught, for Blastoff, for Swindle most likely, or and maybe not, Swindle, but probably definitely Brawl. We'll probably at least get three new molds for those. They might be able to use that, you know, whoever he's that they just randomly threw into the Stunticons. They could possibly use that as like a Swindle.
Well, yeah, I mean the you're talking about the chest plate,
because they replaced Wildrider with some random blue truck.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That would be perfect for a Swindle.
Yeah.
But my thing is if they do that, I could see them almost going down the lines of, you know, one out of Lyokaiser. You could easily do a Lyokaiser out of some of that stuff when you get to that point.
I don't know. I don't expect this line to last past 2015. I think we'll probably get a Devastator, and we're probably going to get that because Devastator is big in the IDW comics right now. And we'll probably get a Prowl that combines with Devastator.
That would be ridiculously awesome, though, I must admit.
And we already have the Vortex, you know, pretending to be an aerial bot. So I imagine we're going to get an Onslaught. I don't know if we'll ever get past those four combiners. It would be nice if we do, but I'm thinking that right there is enough to wrap out 2015 by Hasbro standards.
Well, that's very true. I see what you're going there, but I mean, I was thinking, you know, if the connection port, like, because you think about it, how long did Energon combiners go for? And those went for a long time, you know, and they had different, you know, they pretty much had a Scramble City aspect. You could take all the other ones and plug them on to any of them. So I could see them maybe going into 2016 later on with maybe different combiners that work with that, but, you know, maybe dipping into more of the beast ones like Abominus and Predaking and stuff like that.
There's definitely a possibility of it continuing past, you know, 2015. I think after the year's over, they'll most likely ramp that down. Because a lot of this stuff can't be reused heavily. It's just It's like throwing in like the Beast Wars figures. They don't do a bunch of them because what else are they going to do with them?
Well, I mean, if you release Abominus, you can retool some of Abominus to work for maybe a Dino King or Monstructor. Monstructor would probably be a better one than a Dino King over here, because considering Monstructor actually did get a release, he has been in IDW Comics as well.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Predaking. Predaking, they could do the same thing there. If they release maybe two Beast ones, and then they just retool them slightly to do the others. You know, I could see them doing that with this line because of the connection that they have, the actual connectors that they're using. And if they do this the right way, they could literally give us an entire line of those. But, you know, obviously releasing other stuff like the Headmasters and such has been released. You know, although Brainstorm's had its issues, there's a lot of people out there still like it. So I don't see it really going away. And some people, like the interview that that I listened to with the guy that did the whole 360 around the combiners and such, I was listening to this Hasbro guy, and this Hasbro guy was pretty much having to bite his tongue about saying anything at all. He was pretty much talking in a circle, which kind of tells me that they have some stuff that's in the works that we're all skeptical of or know about, but he can't say anything about. Like considering the Headmasters and such that's coming out. Yes, I got a feeling we're going to see a big change in a lot of that stuff, considering right now that stuff's hot, and they're going to sell what's hot, and that's what they're going to put out there. So I can see it going that direction, just because I've done a lot of research into seeing what's going on, but we don't know. I mean, it is all skepticism at this point.
I reckon they'll use the mo a bit more. Huh? Oh, I know. I reckon they'll use the mo a bit more. It takes so much money and man hours to design a new toy that if you can recycle it, you might as well try it. That's why we keep seeing the Energon combiners, except for Devastator for some reason, reappear heaps down the road, especially in the movie line, which, to be fair, I mean, I don't know how many times you really want to get a Superion Maximus. But I think at the end of the day, it's because they know that they've already put all this money and man hours into designing the toy. They might as well get as much bang for their buck by re-releasing it.
Well, the perfect example was that Bruticus mold they released recently. You know, the one that, you know, Cyburn, the one you have?
Yeah.
How many times did they do stuff with that mold? Now, look at Metroplex. How many times did they do stuff with that mold, but they still have potential to do even more with? You know, there's been a lot of people, like, knocking on Hasbro's door into cars, like, why have you not repainted this stupid thing as Metro Titan? You know? I have a feeling later on we're going to probably end up seeing that as a BotCon thing. That's probably what's going to end up happening.
Oh, Metro Titan.
And thing. It'll probably be more of a Japanese thing. They'll probably come up with some weird Takara exclusive thing, and it'll be Metro Titan.
Right, because I mean that's a lot of engineering.
Or a Japanese or a China, not an Asian market sort of thing.
Hong Kong one. The Hong Kong Asian exclusive, isn't that what they call it?
Like the GDOs that came out, you know, something like that. Which, you know, a lot of us over here in the States thought we'd never see those, and those ended up on Toys R Us shelves. So
I never did get my Wheelie.
He's a good figure too. Like, I hate Wheelie, but it's a good toy.
That Jazz figure, just aside from his terrible shoulders, is an amazing figure.
If to be truthful, that set, I think Swerve was the weak one of that whole set.
Yeah. Well, now that you got the Legend Swerve, it's like obsolete.
Rubbish.
Yeah. All right. So we've been going for quite a while. So now that we've discussed what we think is going to come up in the 2015 line, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up the show. Say goodnight. Adios. Say goodnight, children.
Goodnight. Goodnight, children.
Goodnight.
Bye-bye.
Good boy. All
right, and this is this has been an episode of TFYLP. I was your ever terrible host, Sideburn 2, and we'll see you next time.
I wouldn't say terrible. I would just awkward.
Awkward. Awkward
host.
Guys, don't forget to go to tftalk.net.
Awkward is a good way to describe me. That's
I've
been an awkward host. I've been too.
We'll take it. Everyone. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.